In the fall of 1991, Gerald Sitzer was traveling home in a minivan with his mother, wife, and kids from a powwow in rural Idaho. They enjoyed the dances, but after it had gotten late, they began to drive home. While approaching a curve, an oncoming vehicle, driven by a drunk driver going 85 miles an hour, came over the median and slammed head-on into their minivan. In 1 second, Gerald's life changed. His wife Linda, his 4-year-old daughter Diana Jane, I'll quote this part. "I remember the feeling of panic that struck my soul as I watched Linda, my mother, and Diana Jane all die before my eyes. I remember the pandemonium that followed, people gawking, lights flashing from emergency vehicles, a helicopter whirling overhead. And I remember the realization sweeping over me that I would soon plunge into a darkness from which I might never again emerge as a sane, normal, believing man." Not all of us will suffer a loss like this. But some may. And all of us will be cut by this world in ways that measuring pain would be a foolish venture. Where is God? What do we make of the hardships of Christian life? Can there be any good in the ruthless cruelty of this broken world? Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you prepare our hearts to understand, to receive, and apply your word. I pray that we would leave behind any notions that are false, but cling only to what is good in hope and faith to see you in this world that has so many tears. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we get to the second half of the beginning of chapter 12, where Paul begins with this just dramatic story, which I argued 2 weeks ago was of himself, of whether he went, ascended to the heavens and had this amazing revelation of which he can tell us nothing. She saw things which cannot be comprehended and which man is forbidden to speak. And yet, as he told this story of the heights of the Christian experience, he goes on to tell us that he did not stay there. So to keep me from being too elated, that word's like lifted up, it could be like prideful, putting yourself above someone, by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. We want to see, when the Bible says something twice, you should probably take note, and this is Paul says this twice, that because of these revelations that he had, revelations like his trip to heaven, revelations like the Lord Jesus Christ appearing on the road to Damascus, and others that he won't even mention because he doesn't want to lift himself up, he was given a thorn. Now, it doesn't say that Paul was lifted up, that he was prideful, that this happened in response to some sin of his, but that in order to keep him from being lifted up, he got this thorn in his flesh. Now in this, we get to see that there is a danger in spiritual experience. Like there's a danger in tasting of the gifts of God, which really Paul here, he experiences amazing gift of God, this amazing journey, this amazing like calling, all of the miracles, and there is a danger to that if it lifts us up, if it makes us arrogant towards others. And this is not just a danger of 2,000 years ago. There's a danger to spiritual blessings of the Holy Spirit. Like Uzziah the king. 2 Chronicles 26:16. But when he grew strong, he grew proud to his destruction. Tell a story in like 7 words. Solomon the wisest man became a fool because his pride blinded him. Paul's already said in 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure, the surpassing light of Jesus Christ, the one who died for us and called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, making us a kingdom of priests, and the joys and blessings of the Christian life, which are so amazing. He says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power of God belongs, the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. I've experienced the same kind of thing in my own life. You know, when I was 25 years old, I preached to more people at once than I have ever since. And it was like kind of an awesome experience, really, like 25 years old, I was a pretty bold guy. Get to preach to a pretty like well-off congregation, teaching them to follow Christ. And yet, God then sent me to Piney to preach to a dozen people for 10 years. And I kind of maybe like played off now, like, oh, you know, this is me doing this, just sort of like, I was like going to small places, but at the time, I did not always enjoy that calling to keep me from being too elated. God gave. God had me right where I needed to be. For in my pride that could barely handle failure, what would it do with outright success? All right, so we see this danger that Paul has of being too elated. Number one, this is the point. Blessings can be dangerous if they cause us to lift ourselves up over other people. Happens all the time. Sometimes it happens every day. Secondly, we want to look at the thorn in the flesh. So the thorn in the flesh. So who, what, when, and why was the thorn in the flesh? And the who is who gave. To keep Paul from pride, from lifting himself up, Paul was given a gift. A gift as nice as the year that I got my wife a vacuum cleaner for her birthday. Actually, it was nicer than that. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. And I'm going to say that the who gave this thorn is ultimately God. And to say it's who is God for two reasons. The first is that Paul specifically points to the reason that there is a good thing that God is working in this to keep me, that there is a purpose along this. And second, that he refers to it as was given me. And this is what they call kind of a theological passage. It was given me, and when you, because in Hebrew they don't like to name God very much because they don't like to use a divine name, that they'll just use a passive language of this was given. And even as we see this, so let's say that God ultimately is the one who gave this thorn, we don't want to discount the fact that this was a hard thing and maybe even a demonic thing. And it says, a messenger of Satan. You could translate that just as easily, an angel of Satan, messenger and angel, same word in the New Testament. And so we don't want to undercount that this might have a demonic cause as well, but that doesn't, like, you hear Christians talk about it and it'd be like, okay, like God is the source of everything, and that's true. You don't want to discount that there are secondary sources, because there are two purposes to things all the time in the Bible. The best example of this comes from Genesis, where we have this great story of Joseph, Joseph's brothers. They're jealous of him. They sell his brother to slavery, like, because of jealousy. And so their sin causes them to do this. And yet, Joseph says at the end, "You meant evil against me." Same way in the thorn in the flesh, if this is like an actual demon, like this demon, Satan, meant evil against Paul. But at the same time, in some bigger and more mysterious way, God meant it for good. To bring it about that many people should be alive, in Joseph's case, to bring it about that Paul would not become too elated, in his case. So, to keep that, so the what? What was given? This is called a thorn in the flesh. And thorn, simply, I don't know, anyone ever touched a thorn? Ouch! It hurts. And that's the one thing we can say, this is something that was painful, that it is called a messenger of Satan, which is either a figure of speech to say this was demonically painful, or an actual demon. Both are quite possible, and in any ways that we know that it was very bad. Now, a lot of speculation has gone in, like, what exactly is the thorn in the flesh? Like, you can read, like, pages and pages and pages. And I don't think that we're called to speculate at this point. And maybe Paul leaves it vague for a purpose, because he wants us to be able to know that we might have a thorn as well, something that causes pain. Now, the when is after his revelation. So he had these great revelations, and then a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to harass me. And the word harass, it sounds like a little like harass, like, yeah, you know, harassment can be mild, but like the word most literally, like, it's like, it'd be probably easier translated to punch me repeatedly in the face. That's how I translate it. Like, literally, it's used for being punched in the face in the Bible, same word. And this thing, it would come on, and when it came on, it was debilitating. It wasn't like just like thorn, like a prick, but this was a thing that brought Paul to his knees. And we already said the why. It's ultimately for Paul's good and God's glory. God was working in this difficult situation for good. So the who, God gave Paul over to a physical/spiritual attack. The what, we cannot say other than it was long-lasting and caused him deep pain. Why was to humble him and maybe even to prepare him for the mission to come. You wonder, Paul, looking back, he said the revelation was 14 years ago, that Paul is looking back to this now, like looking back as a more mature, wiser person, saying, like, at that time, like, this was a terrible thing for me, but I can see glimpses of what this has worked in me now 14 years later. It's kind of calls to, you know, a lot of times in our pain, in the midst of it, like, we're not going to be able to see past the pain. But as long as you can see to trust for one more day, eventually you might be able to say, God was working. Now, every person will find thorns in this world. I mean, that's what the curse is, really. Like Genesis 3:17. Cursed is the ground because of you, and pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it will bring for you. But that's what this world of sin is. It is thorns. And yet we can know that even in these things, God works for good. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. And Lord here, it's certainly, this is talking to Jesus, Lord Jesus. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So the first time he said, he prays three times. And I don't think this is that he sat down one afternoon and he was like, Lord God, pray that this would leave me. Lord God, I pray that this would leave me. Lord God, I pray this would leave me. No. I don't think it was like three times I said the words. I think three times he was driven to pray for a day or days in fasting, seeking the Lord. God, may this leave me. I cannot take this anymore. The three times I pleaded with the Lord. And for so long, it says, time one, he spent in prayer. Time two, he spent in prayer. And like so often, in the midst of the hardest things in life, heaven can seem strangely silent. It's like, where is God? Like, what is going on? What is happening in this moment? But then the third time, he comes to God and he prays, and the Lord Jesus Christ speaks. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. The thorn did not leave, but Christ came in a greater way. So it says, my grace. And grace here is just used like Lord Jesus, my favor, my blessing, my unmerited care for you is not leaving in this thorn. In fact, it's coming right in it. And it says it's sufficient. It's sufficient, that is to say, that it is enough to endure the trial that Paul is facing. How can a little thing like grace be sufficient for the mother of a son who committed suicide? How is it sufficient for the husband who lost his young wife to cancer? I'm actually thinking of my best friend, right? One of my good friends right now. How is it sufficient on the day that you've prayed for healing for the 50th time and the results continue to be bad? It says, my power is made perfect in weakness. This is the Lord Jesus Christ saying. He says, my power is made perfect in weakness. And the point is like, Paul, before this is true in your life, look to my life. I came to conquer the pride of the devil as a baby. I came as a man who forgave, who cried, who suffered, who died. My victory was in my back being beaten, my body being broken. We see the greatest power of Christ, his victory over sin and the devil, was on a cross in a slow and painful death. Paul can find strength in Christ to see grace in the thorn in his flesh, because Christ brought grace with his crown of thorns. Paul can find strength in his thorn in the flesh because Jesus' strength was in the crown of thorns. Because Christ's power was made perfect in weakness, Paul could see the thorn not as an obstacle of his growth, holiness, and maybe even ultimate joy, but the thorn in his flesh was the very road of his growth, holiness, and joy. Paul prayed, "Lord, let me lay down this cross." And Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me. My grace is enough for you to endure another step." There's a unique strength of God that we can only experience in weakness. And it doesn't say, like, this is like incredible. It doesn't say, like, my power is enough for weakness. Like, that would be good. But it's like, no, like, my power is made perfect in weakness, which means that that perfection only comes through suffering. Without weakness, and I would include sickness, demonic harassment, relationship strife, mental illness, persecution, grief and loss. Without these things, we would not be able to experience God's grace in Christ in its most perfect way. And this is not, like, I don't want to downplay how hard our weaknesses can be. After all, I just compared it to a crucifixion. Like, it's not to downplay it, not to downplay how hard the weaknesses of our life can be, but only to show that the strength of God is always more than even the darkest valley of despair. Now, there's a note of warning here. That just like Paul, we can pray for relief and God will grant it according to what is good. And we don't want to say, like, oh yeah, I just want to suffer as much as possible, because that's not like I don't want to suffer any more than what is good for me. But we can trust that God always answers the prayers of his children with yes, or I have something better for you. Paul, God gave the answer to Paul. No, I'm not going to take this thorn out, but I have something better. I have grace to endure for this season. Paul goes on, and it's almost amazing. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so right now you think about, like, the things that are just like the weakness of your life, whether it's health, whether it's like relationship, whether it's mental, whether it's a situation to God, whether it's addictions, and whatever that God has given you, you'll be like, yes, I'm going to embrace the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to walk in this season for his glory, trusting that the power of Christ is going to not only be with me, but rest on me, overshadow me. All right, summary. Blessings can be dangerous. discovered the who, what, why, when was thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it is, but it was for Paul's good, from God. Maybe Satan meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You can see that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is enough for you. It is sufficient in everything. And now finally, we can see that in Christ, we can enjoy deep contentment in weakness. For the sake of Christ, I'm going to show it once more, so if you don't have it all written down, just wait. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. But really, Paul? Like I want to be like strong when I'm strong. Paul says he's content. And this word here, content, like the translators are a little bit baffled on what to do with this word. And some translations go the different way because this is the same word that Jesus in his baptism when the voice from heaven is like, this is my son, my beloved son, with whom I am, the word, well pleased. Okay, that's the same word, well pleased. Like you could say happy, that's how I translated it. And so like Paul maybe isn't just saying like I'm like content to like bear with this. It's like I'm like well pleased with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. You're a crazy man, Paul. He just said he was a crazy man. Or he's going to the next line. But he's crazy for Christ. So he says, I'm happy with my weaknesses, my physical and my mental challenges. I'm happy with my depression for the sake of Christ, because in this Christ can be even more strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong. As I said, whatever it is in our life, whether it's family to cancer, in looking to Christ, we can find strength in it. All right, total summary. Number one, we see blessings can be dangerous. And I said, when we are really lifted up and we're spiritual high, like be careful. Second, we learned what, who, what, when, and why was the thorn in the flesh. It was given by God, although maybe meant by Satan, but it's too bad. But it was given by God to keep Paul from being elated from his great revelations that he received. And we see that even in the hardest things, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is enough. It's enough for you. And finally, we see that in Christ that we can enjoy deep contentment in weakness. So, application. We see that God allowed Paul's thorn in the flesh, and he allowed it to remain for Paul's good and the ultimate glory of God. In this, we see that God is going to say no in prayer. I mean, he said his prayers are always yes or no, but I have something better. He says, yes, you will be healed from cancer, or no, I am going to allow this to remain for a time so that you may experience my grace in a way that you otherwise would not. Many good things are hard, and in fact, many of the best things are. Secondly, we see that God's grace is really enough in suffering. It really is. He who bore the crown of thorns has enough grace for your thorn in the flesh, whatever it might be. He who bore the crown of thorns has enough grace for your thorn in the flesh. And this all isn't to downplay suffering. We don't downplay the magnitude of suffering. We weep with those who weep. But we do say, that the grace of Jesus Christ is enough to meet the deepest crisis. How do you do this? Because suffering does not help everyone. Like many people, they suffer and then they just get bitter and more nasty. Three things. Number one, we need to look to Christ. Look to Christ who bore the crown of thorns daily. Secondly, be around people who will point you to Christ when you can't look yourself. Third, I would say this, don't decide to be part of the Christian fellowship. Don't decide. Don't decide. Do it every day. Like it's not, do it every Sunday, do it every small group. Don't decide you're going to do this. Just do it. It's not a decision. It is your habit. It is the thing you do. If you're going to not go to church, that's a decision. But going to church is just what you do so that you're around God's people, so that you can hear God's message on the days when everything is dark and you can't see it. Finally, we're going to end back with Gerald Sitzer. I believe we left him with his dying wife, mother, and child on the side of an Idaho highway. Now, he wrote a book. I have it. You can probably borrow it if you like. It's called A Grace Disguised. It's called A Grace Disguised. And in it, he doesn't cover up the deep valley of pain with platitudes. Oh yes, pain is real. But he shows the sufficiency of Christ is truly enough to meet that need. He writes, "The accident itself bewilders me as much as it did 3 years ago. Much good has come from it, but all the good in the world will never make the accident itself good. It remains a horrible, tragic, and evil event for me. Yet the grief I feel is sweet as well as bitter. I still have a sorrowful soul. Yet I wake up every morning joyful, eager for what the new day will bring. Never have I been so aware of my weakness and vulnerability. Yet never have I been so content and felt so strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Never has my soul been more dead, yet never has my soul more alive. What I once considered mutually exclusive, sorrow and joy, pain and pleasure, death and life, have become parts of a greater whole. My soul has been stretched. Above all, I have become aware of the power of God's grace and my need for it. Above all, I have become aware of the power of God's grace and my need for it. My soul has grown because it has been awakened to the goodness and love of God. God is growing my soul, making it bigger, filling it with himself. My life is being transformed. Though I have endured pain, I believe that the outcome is going to be wonderful." Let's pray. Oh Lord God, I pray that in whatever thorn that we have been given in our lives, and maybe we feel like a pincushion today, that we would look to you, who bore the crown of thorns, that we would lift our eyes up to our suffering Savior and trust when we can't see why, have faith that you know when we know nothing, and commend ourselves that you will lead us and give us whatever we need to draw us close to you. I thank you, God, for the weakness in my life. And I just pray that I would continue to walk your road to see your grace more and more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.